So Totally Business Savvy, episode 37. Hey everybody, welcome to So Totally Business Savvy. This is Dean Soto, and this is the podcast where we talk about small business, whether it is starting your own little small side business or learning how to scale your business into something bigger, whether it's through technology or hiring overseas or whatever it is. I am here to help you do just that. But today we're going to be talking with, we're going to actually get some feedback from Matt Galitzi. We're also going to discuss my website, You Can Work Less, why it is called that, because of certain circumstances, and lead generation. All right, everyone. Welcome to So Totally Business Savvy. We are on episode 37, which is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing, actually. I just thinking about it, I can't believe we're already at episode 37. I started this podcast all the way back when it was on my ProSulum blog, which is still there. It's actually that blog and or site is going to be basically a portfolio site for my web development agency. And for those of you who have never listened to this podcast ever, I own a couple of businesses. I own one business in particular, but I do multiple things to include niche marketing, internet marketing, helping people and businesses to set up a good online web presence, as well as I do some sales on the side for different restaurant franchises, which is also pretty fun. And I don't know if it's fun, but at the same time, it could be kind of frustrating, but no worries. Anyway, welcome if you've never heard this before. So let's get into it. Let's get into it. First bit of business. Got a bit of feedback from Matt Galitzi. And if you don't know who Matt Galitzi is, you can go to some of my past episodes where I actually interview him. He has a business called Nodix Tech, in which he develops mobile websites. He's in Southern California. He is basically the go-to guy for anything that has to do with mobile apps. As well as QR codes and anything that has to do with mobile, really, in general. And so he has a bit of feedback for us. It's a little crazy, but it's always good getting stuff like this because it makes the show a little bit more lively rather than having to listen to me all the time, which I'm sure is not that exciting. So Matt, take it away.
Hello, Mr. Dean Soto. It is Matthew Galitzi, and it is Saturday morning, and I am getting my daily listening in for the Dean Soto Show. So totally business savvy. Anyways, I just heard you make two comments, and I laughed in my car. I thought you should know. You talked about McDonald's, and you said you might go to the jungles of Ecuador to talk to someone about McDonald's, and they wouldn't know. That was pretty funny. That made me laugh. Another one is you're talking about canceling your LinkedIn profile and how entrepreneurs need to make decisions. And you said, if entrepreneurs don't make decisions, they will die. That was pretty funny. Anyways, take care, brother. Bye.
Thanks, Matt. That was, those were very interesting comments, my friend. You always make things so fun. And so if you don't know what he was talking about, in episode 35, I was talking about branding and how the importance of it. Was actually, we were talking about my eco guy, my eco maid, natural pet grocer. Harry Mahler has a site that in a business that has to do with organic pet toys and pet supplies and so on. And one of the things that he was thinking of was naming his business Natural Pet Grocer, which is good, But at the same time, I mean, actually, you know, that's actually not that bad. But he also has the name Pawrific, which I thought that was actually a better name because you have so much more branding there. Very easy to remember. In fact, Natural Pet Grocer, just off the top of my head right now, I was actually thinking, oh, was that the name that of his store? Because you don't know. That's more of like what you are or what you do rather than Pawrific. So what I was saying was you go to McDonald's. When you hear the word McDonald's, we think of the fast food restaurant. We think of McDonald's more often than not. If you went somewhere where they didn't have a McDonald's and you said, hey, would you like to go to McDonald's? They're going to be looking at you like, what? I have no idea what. But the name is so powerful, even though it doesn't say what it is when it's actually branded, when it's actually branded into people's minds. So Natural Pet Grocer is going to tell you what you do, but it's not that brandable of a name. At least not that I think. It might be. But... but I don't think that it, personally, I don't think that it is. So it all depends on do you want to brand yourself as a particular, as a powerful, powerful name, or do you want to brand yourself after what you do? And I'm sure there are companies out there. Let's see, I'm trying to think of some companies right now that, because when I think of Natural Pet Grocer, and I mentioned this in the podcast, I think of those stores where you drive by and maybe it just says like hamburgers and that's it. And you're like, okay, well, it's a hamburger store. They sell hamburgers. But I mean, really, is that store going to get any bigger nationally? No, because nobody's going to buy a franchise by the name of hamburgers, and nobody is going to, there's just not enough branding there. It's just you make hamburgers and that's about it. Whereas McDonald's, whereas Pawrific, whereas whatever a name like Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, those are some really brandable names. So that's what he was kind of getting at there. And then what was the second thing he said? So the first thing was the jungles of Ecuador. And then the second thing, and entrepreneurs need to make decisions or die. And it's true. What I mean by that, obviously they're not going to die. Well, it's possible they could potentially die, I guess, of starvation. But as entrepreneurs, we have to make a decision and run with it. And recently, I actually just had that happen where I have so many different sites going on, so many different businesses going on that I had to say, okay, wait a minute, hold the phone. I need to focus on one thing, make it good, make it extremely valuable, and then move on from there to the next thing. And so what I did was, I'll just name some of the things that I was doing. I have my web development agency, in which I partner up with another design agency. And so that takes time. I have my You Can Work Less blog. I also sell products on that. Also, you know, just blogging in general and podcasting through So Totally Business Savvy, that takes a lot of time. It honestly does. Have Productive Catholic, which is my other site where it's all about productivity from like a religious, spiritual point of view. And if I turn anyone off with that, oh well, that's the way it is. And that has a business side to it as well, where I sell a premium membership where I teach people how to basically start a business. And so I have that. I also have restaurant franchising sales. And with that, I have a restaurant business podcast. And I had shown this to you guys not too long ago that I have a whole podcast devoted just to that. And I do cold calling, and I do following up on leads and all other stuff. So that's a lot there, plus all the niche marketing stuff. So if you go to my my profitable niche adventure on youcanworkless.com, which by the way, youcanworkless.com is getting redesigned and will be totally brand spanking new within the next few days. So you'll be able to find things a lot easier. That's one problem that I know that I have, and I apologize. But If you search or if you look for on Google My Profitable Niche Adventure, or you can work less, or you can work less.com, whatever, you will. Yeah, it's really hard to find, obviously, if I'm saying that. Actually, I think if you go to youcanworkless.com/niche, you can get there. Let me try that out. Niche. Is it going to do it? Oh, it is. So if you go to youcanworkless.com/niche, N-I-C-H-E, it'll take you to My Profitable Niche Adventure. And you'll get to see what I do there. And I've been doing a lot more of that. And that takes a lot of time, too, as well. I also have my virtual assistant do some things. I don't have my virtual assistant do that. I hire some other folk to help me write articles and do things through that. So a lot of stuff that's going on, lot of stuff. And so I had to really just say no to a lot of things. So basically what I'm doing is as much as I love Productive Catholic, I keep it going for a while. I think I'm only going to do one blog post a month because it's just, I mean, I love the people there. I love being able to do stuff, but you know, honestly, my goal is to quit my full-time job. I have my side business, which brings in a good amount of income, but it's still way too difficult. I don't feel comfortable leaving my full-time job yet for my side business. And that's the truth. Although I make really good money with my side business, I just don't feel that it's the right time to jump. And we'll go into that a little bit later and how to decide when to do that. A lot of people jump way too early, and I almost jumped out way too early. But I'm probably going to slow down on Productive Catholic. For my web development side of things, I am empowering my virtual assistant to do a good amount of that and help. And he's great at doing what he does anyway. And for the restaurant side of things, I devote specific days to that. Really, Monday, Wednesday, Friday to that. And what I really want to do is I want to start building the You Can Work Less community. I mean, there's so many good people on there. I've been doing a lot with my newsletter there and getting a lot of great feedback and, putting in as much valuable content as I possibly can into that newsletter because that's what excites me. I love helping new people, start new things while I might not be totally full-time in my business. The fact of the matter is the hardest part is starting. The hardest part is really just knowing how to price things, really knowing how to do all those things. It's easy to me. To me, it's easy to scale. So you can see, I have my full-time job, which takes up 40 hours a week. I have the niche stuff, I have the web development stuff, I have the restaurant stuff, and I'm pretty much kind of cutting out the Productive Catholic stuff. Not so much, but I mean, enough to where it's a sizable difference. But that's really four things that I'm actively working. And the restaurant stuff I had to put onto specific days, and then the web dev stuff I was able to scale because I have such a good staff that works for me. My virtual assistant is awesome, and full-time job is the full-time job. And then for the niche stuff, I hire through different places, which in my newsletter, if you want to join my newsletter, I'm going to be going into how I hire people and through those different places to be able to get a lot of that stuff done. Yes, I still have some manual stuff that I have to do, but ultimately I don't spend a lot of time on it, and it's looking at what I've made so far on my AdSense for this month. AdSense for this month, it's halfway through the month. I've made about $60, And then Commission Junction, I've made probably about 150. And so I would imagine that I'm going to probably make a couple more Commission Junction sales, and then also some more AdSense stuff. So it helps that, you know, it's not something I can live off of, but it definitely helps, and I can replicate it. I know how to do it, and I know how to do it at the same time as I'm raising a family and being able to spend time with them. So learning how to start things is probably, like I said, the hardest part. And then after that, learning how to scale to me is so easy. And that's what I love to teach too, is how to use virtual assistants, where to find the support that you need to make, to create articles or to do research for customers or to do a whole lot of things for a couple dollars. You can have a whole thing of research done for probably around $5. You can have a whole presentation done for you for like $10. You can do A/B testing or usability testing for less than $10 for a website. And then this is stuff that you would normally pay, if you were a business owner, you would pay someone thousands of dollars, especially usability testing. You might pay a consultant a couple thousand dollars to really show what your users are doing, what they're clicking on, what they find offensive, what they find beneficial, what they find boring, and so on. And you can do this for literally really detailed usability testing for under $50 and become a usability testing consultant or something like that. But nonetheless, what I'm trying to say is you have to make the decision to start and how to start. Once you do that, you have to learn how to scale, how to really be able to make focused decisions to go after one thing, maybe two things, unless you have already scaled to be able to be able to support all the things that you're doing, because you just don't have enough time during the day to really focus and make a good quality product. And that's why I'm dropping one of my blogs. Now, it's not forever. It's not forever. In fact, I'm probably going, I'm still supporting the premium content there, which is awesome, by the way. And obviously I highly suggest that, but that's why I really want to make Soul Totally Business Savvy and youcanworkless.com so extremely valuable that I'm going to be totally authentic, that I make an income off it. But ultimately, I want to help people like Harry Mahler and Doug Noble. Doug Noble, when we first talked, he was in a full-time job, and now he owns his own business, and he's running his own business and doing his own thing. And that is pretty amazing. That is awesome. And Hillary Korna, when I first talked to Hillary Korna, and this was before the podcast, she was asking me, she had just gotten back from Singapore and she was working for Toyota and stuff, and she was writing a book, and she asked me, you know, how do I reach out to universities and so on? So I, you know, coached her a bit on how to go about doing some cold calling and what to do and how to go after benefits and all this other stuff. Now she has a national book deal, a national book signing deal. Sent out her first book. If you go to onewhiteface.com, she's actually been on, she was episode 20 of this podcast, if you want to hear her interview. And just got sponsored by a major car company for funding her whole book road trip. And that's pretty amazing. That is awesome. And, you know, that's just seeing that happen, even though they're going farther than I've ever gone. To me, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, obviously there's different circumstances. Some are married. Some are in areas where it doesn't cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to live, like where I live, in Southern California. I'd move if I could, but there's other circumstances why that's not the case and why I can't. But yeah, they have focused on one thing, went for it, and are doing some fantastic and amazing things. So all that from that little bit of feedback. So if you can't tell, I love feedback. I love it because it gives such a difference to the show rather than just listening to me. So if you want to give some feedback, the easiest way is to call 714-643-5301. And if you do that, it'll go to a voicemail. It'll say something like, "Hey, welcome to So Totally Business Savvy." It might not even say that. I need to fix this because I think the last time it just says, "Hey, it's Dean Soto, leave a message, blah, blah, blah." But either way, just leave a message. It doesn't matter if you have to repeat yourself 30 times and call back 30 times. I'm not going to care. I'm only going to put the best clip into my little clip audio clip thing. And yeah, don't worry about it. It makes such a huge difference. It makes such a huge difference. And especially if you're on my newsletter, I've been getting such great emails back from folks who want to know about how to generate leads. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. About how to sell. And I've had a couple of other really cool things happen. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, definitely leave me some audio feedback. 714-643-5301. Or you can, maybe if you have an iPhone, you can use the little recording app and then just email that little recording to me. That's totally doable as well. That's probably even easier. Dean@prosulum.com. prosulum.com. Okay. Wow. Spoke 20 minutes on that, so let's move on. Okay, so over the last couple of weeks, I've been really doubting myself as why did I use youcanworkless.com? One of the reasons why I did it in the first place is because I was starting to work less. I had my full-time job, plus I was doing IT stuff, and that was taking 12 hours plus a week, 20 hours plus a week, depending. Sometimes it would be even more. So I was probably working 60, 70 hours a week doing the IT stuff because you had to be there on site. And then I'm like, I don't like this. Let's find another way of doing it. And then I started hiring virtual assistants and doing niche stuff and doing web development stuff and doing a whole lot of other stuff. So I was working a ton less. And so I figured... the whole point of this is, I figured that it was a cool way to show people, you know, hey, why don't you scale? Why don't you either hire offshore or maybe use different types of technologies that are out there like FreshBooks or Outright or MindMeister or all these other tools that help you to be more productive and help you to get more things done, help you to invoice people and so on. Tools that I use, things that I do and use on a regular basis. But one thing I found is people either love, and this might be a good thing, people either love my site and love You Can Work Less, or they hate it. They think it's some kind of spammy thing. In fact, I've actually stopped commenting on other people's blogs unless I absolutely know them, because a kismet thinks I'm spam. And I asked them, you know, why is this the case? And they said, well, a lot of people think your site is spam. And I'm like, really? And so I only comment on a few blogs that either one, don't use Akismet, or two, I know them. And if I send them an email, even if it goes into spam, they'll take it out. So I know that Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income actually stopped using Akismet, which is the most popular spam blocking tool out there, because a lot of his commenters were going to spam. But honestly, I don't want that to happen. That's the last thing I want. But more and more, I start seeing that I don't know. I start just thinking, why did I pick You Can Work Less? Because it seems so spammy. It seems like it's the whole get rich quick thing. And I had an email recently from a guy who, and it was a really good email, but I had an email from a guy that was asking me, you know, how do I start a business? How do I do a couple of things, which we'll talk about in another episode. But he also said, you know, I want to work less and make more. And so when I think about that, it seems like the whole get rich quick thing, and which is not what I'm trying to say. The whole you can work less thing is, yeah, you're going to work less and make more than what the average person would, I would say, because like I said, I have my full-time job. And so I'm working more because I'm doing this podcast and I'm doing my side business stuff, my internet marketing stuff. I'm doing all this other stuff, which does take a couple hours. I would say I do maybe about an hour or two a day. Maybe at the least I might do maybe 4 hours a week. I think that's the least I've ever done. But at least an hour a day I've done, I do something. And whether it's guiding my virtual assistants, or if it's hiring new people to do articles or whatever it is, I'm still technically working more than 40 hours a week. But at the same time, if I'm making, you know, a couple thousand dollars a month doing that, and I'm really only adding, doing another 25 hours a week, that's pretty good. So even if I'm doing even if I'm doing $1,000 a week and I'm only working, you know, like 25 hours, let's see, what is that? And pull out the calculator, 1,000 divided by 25, doing 25 hours, that's 40 hours. That's $40 an hour. It's pretty good. That's pretty good. Usually I make more than that. Usually I would say, anyway, I make more than that. Let's just say that. So I try and make at least $150 an hour, but we'll see what happens. It fluctuates from month to month. Let's just say that. So that's still really, really good. But the fact is, I still work more. I do work more, and so you can work less. If you want to know the real definition of that, it's basically, what I want to teach is, once you have something started, let's start figuring out how you can either hire people to help you, hire people offshore for what, $250 a month, $400 a month, at most $700 a month, depending on where you're at. That's, and what they do. That's pretty amazing and pretty insane. That you can do that. Or maybe it's technology. Maybe you can use something like Google Apps that totally saves you a ton of time and ton of money. That's what You Can Work Less is all about, trying to make things better, faster, cheaper, helping you to be more in tune with your family, allowing your family, maybe you have a dual income right now and you want to go to a single income and you want to add a little bit more hours to your schedule so your kids can be with their wife or your husband can be with your kids. Either way, that's pretty, that's once something is started, it can be pretty easy to scale. And there's just a couple of ways to do that. And that's basically what I'm trying to preach and trying to teach. So, all right, I won't feel bad about my You Can Work Less name anymore. Hopefully I'm not hopefully you don't think I'm a spammer. Hopefully. All right, so moving on to the next topic, which is lead generation. So I need to stop saying so in the beginning. There's someone that I know that says so whenever they start a sentence and they are rubbing off on me, if you can't tell. With lead generation, this is a topic that I've gotten twice in a matter of a few days, people asking, how do I find a target market? How do I sell to a target market? Is this a good way? How do I get these types of customers and so on? And so lead generation is a huge topic that is very broad. And, you know, honestly, what I'm going to say next is not very original. If you really want to get some good stuff on lead generation, I'm going to be doing a lot in my newsletter. And if you go to the youcanworkless.com site and you sign up for my newsletter, you'll get the my business proposal template, and you'll also get everything that's on my newsletter. I'm also going to be starting up some weekly webinars, but I want to get, I just need to get the schedule down. I think it's going to be Thursdays at 4:30 Pacific Standard Time. I think that's something that works out with most people, whether you're on the West Coast, East Coast. And, you know, if you're in a totally different time zone, I apologize, but maybe I'll do one in the morning for you guys. So for those who don't know what lead generation is, I've talked about this quite a bit before, but lead generation is finding customers generally. And I don't want to go too much into all of the ways to do this, but generally you have to think of two things. Well, the big thing you need to realize is that lead generation is what's going to kill your business, or it's going to make your business thrive. This is all customers. These are paying people who are going to pay for what you offer. And that might be people who are going to pay a couple dollars, a couple $100, a couple $1,000, depending on your service, or it could be all depending on the services that you have and products that you have. So for example, for me, I have a couple of products, a membership site and an ebook that are very accessible to people. So my ebook is like $27 and it teaches you how to, the ebook teaches you how to hire virtual assistants, work with virtual assistants, where to go to find virtual assistants for like $250 a month, and how to interview them, how to train them, how to even determine what you need to give to them, all that stuff. That's very accessible to people at $27. But if they were to ask me to, if that same person was going to ask me to, say, do one-on-one consulting on the on how to hire a virtual assistant, my hourly rate is $150. So that's that, and yes, people pay that. And they get really great value, if you ever want to do consulting. But that is less accessible to people. That is much less accessible. And then if people want to buy another service that I have, like internet marketing or, web development, that's going to be a couple $1,000s depending. It might be in the tens of thousands depending on what you need. And so, there's a whole different avenue of how you are going to find your leads. So that is the first stage in any part of lead generation, is recognizing, yes, you need to have these leads. And the next thing is actually really, this should be 1A, since I said there's only two things. So this is one, that was 1A. This should be 1B, actually. 1B would be, once you realize, yes, I need leads, obviously, I need to make money, because a lot of entrepreneurs don't. And you might think that's funny and that I'm not making much sense, but there are a lot of people that do not feel like they need to get leads. Like the first thing they think of, okay, I just started a business, I need to go get some business cards. I started a business and I need to, I need to go and get on social media. I started a business and I need a website. I started a business and I need to get print material. No. The last 5 meetups I've been to, I haven't brought any of my business cards. In fact, my business cards are staring right in front of me. They make a very, very good, just placeholder for my desk right over here. Someone can give me their business card and I'll email them back and I'll say, thank you. Oh, I forgot my business cards. My fault. Is it all right if I email you back tonight? And then I'll write their name on the back of the business cards and email them back. There's the contact is made. They know who I am. And if they forgot me after a few hours, then I probably wouldn't want to work with them anyway. So the biggest need is to determine and just to know that lead generation is the first and foremost thing that you should be doing, lead generation. So 1B is knowing who your lead is. Who is your lead? Who are your leads, I should say. So if you have multiple products that are accessible to different people, like for example, for me, the one I want to help everyone, but I can't help everyone all the time. Even if I charge $1,000 an hour, which maybe at some point in time I will. If I charge $1,000 an hour, there's no physical possible way that I could give one-on-one consulting to thousands of people. It's just not going to happen. If I were to get very popular and charge $1 million an hour, there is no way that I could be physically possible to please everyone. And so I have, like I said, I have my ebook and I'll be making other products, or I'll just have my email newsletter, which might have tutorials on tools that I use that help me in business. And then I make a little money off of commission, or on blog posts that have affiliate links in them, and I make a little money off of a commission there. That helps me to be accessible to people. That helps me to say, hey, you know what? This is how I go about doing things. If you want a step-by-step course, check out my blog post, or if you want a step-by-step course, here's a video in my newsletter. Oh, and by the way, if you found this to be valuable, please, you know, buy through my affiliate link. Those are ways to help more people to do more. Now, I like with the email newsletter, I actually haven't done that really any with my email newsletter now. But it's a possibility. That possibility is there. And you know, some people might get turned off by that, you know, and that's fine. But, you know, if my content's valuable enough that you love my email newsletter and that it's taught you something that's going to make you $1,000, are you really going to be bent that I have an affiliate link that you're going to pay the same price anyway? You're going to pay the same price for hosting or whatever it is anyway. Are you really going to be bent that I get a certain portion of that, like $20 or $30? You shouldn't, because you're getting thousands of dollars worth of information. And that's why, you know, when Pat Flynn or whoever teaches something that's really valuable, I'll buy off of his affiliate link. I don't care, because I want him to keep on giving me this valuable information. So know that you need lead generation, know who your target market is. So that's for me, those things are for everyone. But my real target market, like for my web development company, my real target market for my web development company is anyone who is willing to pay for a quality website. And usually I cut people off at $5,000 and below, because, and I'll tell you why, is because a lot of people want to just have a website and that's it. And that means nothing. But if they want to have a website that is going to get them more targeted leads, if they want a website that is going to be able to reach out to their audience and build loyal fan bases that buy and buy and buy from them or tell their friends about them, then that's the type of person that I want. Someone who's savvy enough to understand that if I spend $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 on this website and I have it working the way that I want it to work, and I have it doing the things that I need it to do, I'll be making $10,000, $20,000, $100,000, $1 million, whatever it is, depending on how savvy they are and how well their sales funnel is, they can have the potential to make a lot more. In fact, one of my clients just recently had their very first summit. They had a transportation summit, and they sold out that summit. That's their like big annual thing which helps with fundraising, helps with sponsorship, helps with awareness and all this other stuff. They sold out, and a big part of that was because of their website and the way it was built. Now, they paid a lot of money for that website, but they got a ton back. So do I want someone who's going to be nitpicky? Do I want someone who's going to go, I'm not sure if I want to do a blog and all this other stuff. And I'm not sure what the value of a blog is. And I'm not sure what the value of having an email newsletter is. And really, there was a high school student, and I really recently had this happen. There's a high school friend of mine who said that they can make a website that looks just like my competition's. A 5-page website that has a couple of scrolling images, and that looks good. Needless to say, when I said, okay, yeah, well, minimum is good, and I don't say this off the bat, but I let them, I start qualifying, later on, I'll probably be doing a product on how to qualify leads and how to sell and all this other stuff. But I qualified them, and I knew that they weren't going to go for it. So eventually, I was just like, you know what, stop. It was either crap or get off the pot. I said, okay, well, something like this is going to be a minimum of $5,000. I'm thinking it's going to probably be between $7,000 and $8,000 to make it something that's going to really bring a lot of your market in. And needless to say, I didn't hear anything back from them, which is fine. I don't care, because that is not, if they're not willing to pay for that my service at that price, then that's not the customer I want. If they're not willing to see the value and why they need to do that, that's totally fine. No harm, no foul. I don't care, because you know what? My partner and I talk to someone, boom, got an ideal client for the price that was commensurate to what they were getting. So who is your target market? So that's 1B. The really number two is where are they at? Going back to 1A real quick. One thing you have to realize with your target market, and I recently had an email asking and saying that, you know, my target market is college students. One thing you need to realize with when you're figuring out who your target market is, who your leads really are, do they have money? Do college students really have money? No, they don't. So college students might not be the best target market. However, who has money when it comes to college? The parents and or the universities themselves. You can, if you target the parents, like for example, if it's a service to help parents to be more involved with their college students, or it's a service to help to urge parents to really give them a leg up on the competition, or to help the student to save a year off of college, would a parent pay for that? Oh, probably. Heck yeah. Or maybe it's something that a service to the parents to help them to do financial planning for college, or a service to the parents to find scholarships, in order to reduce prices for their college students. I don't know. Something like that is going to allow. Is really going to allow you to reach the real person who has the real capital to really support what it is, would support the service that you're trying to provide. So it might be the universities. Maybe it's like Hillary Korna. She was working with the universities to help students to find opportunities in Asia, and the universities would fund whatever it is that she was trying to do. So that's something that you could do. But know if your target market has capital. So if you're working with unemployed people, you're not going to offer a $500 course on such and such, but maybe you're working with an unemployment agency and you can offer that $500 course. It depends on, you just have to find who really has the capital to support. And so, sorry, that was 1A, 1B, and maybe that was 1B.1. this is number two, finally at number two. Number two is that, wow, I just totally lost what number two was. What was it? Man, I needed to have this. If you can't tell, I needed to have this a little bit more outlined, but I know you'll forgive me because you are a forgiving audience. So number two was so we have the target market, and number two is where they are. Number two is where they are. If you are, and I've said this many times, if you are a web developer, are you going to be networking at WordCamp? Probably not, because one, even if there are people there that own a business and who know nothing about web development, WordCamp is a camp for WordPress. It's a whole get together for WordPress. You're going to be surrounded by your competition, or you're going to just be with your competition in general. It's just like if you are a guy and you want to go meet some ladies, are you going to go to a all male football game, or a men's club football game, I should say? No, you're not going to go there. Or, you know, there might be some ladies there because they're supporting the men's club or whatever, but really that's not going to be the case. You want to go. So maybe you build websites for dentists. You want to go to where dentists have conferences, or you might go to the local club, like association, the American Dental Association, Orange County chapter, or something like that. You want to go where your leads are. Typically, like if you're going to a chamber of commerce, you're going to be getting a lot more of the lower end clients, because there's a lot more small business there. If there are bigger businesses there, they're not really business decision makers. They are kind of figureheads just for the business to show their support and so on. But ultimately, you got to find where your target market is. Some ways that you can do that is call up hotels and say, you know, hey, are there any really good events that are coming this week? I'm a business, you know, I'm a businessman. I'm trying to find new avenues for business or whatever. You can say that, or you can, sometimes they have their event calendar online, and you can see, you know, if, okay, well, the International Back Massagers Club is meeting on this thing. They're having their international conference. That is great, because I do podcasts. I teach massage therapists how to do podcasts, and so this is perfect. So who is your target market? You know, so if this was I'm teaching college students. Well, if your target market is really their parents, you might want to go to the college open houses and meet with the universities and say, you know, hey, at your next open house or whatever it is, would I be able to have 10 minutes to show, you know, how I can help these parents to be able to better support their children through these next 4 years financially, or something like that. And reach out, and because that's a targeted thing. But those are really the one, and let's just say it like it is. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 ways. I wanted to say two ways, but that was kind of like, I don't know if you ever seen Monty Python, but the Spanish Inquisition sketch when he says, nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Our chief weapon is surprise and fear. Two chief weapons, and he just keeps going and going and adding more, and then eventually he's like, oh, let's just start again. Anyway, no worries there. So ultimately, with lead generation, we just have to start thinking about what are you offering, who your target market is, where they're at. And don't be afraid. If it's something that's really going to be very, very, very beneficial to people, don't be afraid to charge a lot. Don't be afraid to charge a lot. And we'll go into pricing a lot in the newsletter if you want. I do go into pricing a lot also on the blog. In fact, I'm going to be doing a lot of these different types of resources, these different types of whole courses on the blog that go into these specific things. And there's no reason not to charge a good amount, but you have to know who your target market is. You have to know where they're at, and you have to, you just got to think about when the next time you buy something from someone, especially if it's a service. How did you meet them? Where did you meet them? Why did you find their pitch valuable? Why did you buy from them? Why was it a good experience? What did they do to really hook you in, and so on? Think about that the next time. Maybe it was the last time you bought a product, but think about that. Think about where you're at, how you were even came in contact with that product. All right, so if you want to leave some feedback, it is 714-643-5301, or you can go to youcanworkless.com and go to the contact little contact tab, and I will be very accessible. You just fill out the form there, and it'll send me an email with your questions. Best way to reach me, sign up for the email list and reply to one of my emails that I send, one of my broadcast emails or whatever. And I have no problem. I've been answering emails a lot this week, and that's what I'm here for, is to help you in any way to get to a point where you can really start earning more, and really, you know, honestly, working less. Maybe your full-time job, maybe you do a lot of administrative work in your full-time job. Very easy to outsource, and very easy to say, you know, pay someone $250 a month to build these charts for you, to build these spreadsheets for you, to build these documents for you. And, you know, if you're able to do that, and it's something that doesn't need to be done right away, like within the next 10 minutes, maybe it takes a day or 2 days or something like that to do. Outsource it out, and then you can have more time to do other things. You can have more time to maybe even do some things on the side, and or even say, you know, hey boss, I think I would like to have a work at home option, because I think I can work better. And then outsource a lot of the stuff that you do, as long as they don't see a difference, and or maybe they will see a difference, and they'll be like, man, this guy's doing a lot more than he's ever done. That would be so awesome. But there's always ways to do things better, faster, cheaper, and to work less. So yes, you can work less. Youcanworkless.com. You can check out a lot of the good blog posts there. That's going to be, there's going to be a lot of more new stuff there. And, when you're there, check out, I'm going to create a lot of resource buckets within the next month or so. And so you'll see a lot of different courses there. So how to do niche marketing, how to do a whole lot of other stuff. But thanks for listening, and I will see you next time on So Totally Business Savvy.